Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thanks, Steve. Today's podcast features a couple from Columbus, Ohio, who've been RVing for the past 6 years. Today's show is sponsored by the Small Business RVer School. This new course from WorkCamper is designed specifically for entrepreneurs on the move and helps you build a business you can run anytime from anywhere. The self-directed course helps you be your own boss while reducing stress and saving on taxes. Through a series of online videos and monthly calls, you are taught the steps necessary to build and manage a successful mobile business. Life is too short, so choose what you want to do when you want to do it by starting a business of your own. For more information, visit www.smallbizrver.com. Tracy and Lee Perkins have been married for 32 years and travel the country in a 40-foot fifth wheel because it has more windows than a Class A, which makes the RV feel less like a bubble and more like a home. When they started RVing, Lee had a corporate job that allowed him to work on the road. Perkins have been crisscrossing the country a number of times and funding their travels by work camping along the way. They have sold Christmas trees, harvested sugar beets, shipped products in an Amazon warehouse, guarded gates at a Texas oil field, and worked at several campgrounds in paid and volunteer positions. Of all the places they have visited, Alaska was amazing, but they found Utah to be extraordinary. Because both Lee and Tracy grew up in the eastern states, they were anxious to explore the American West and have already spent time in Montana, Wyoming, and Arizona. They constantly feel the tug to go someplace new. In fact, Lee said that whenever he wears a path from his RV to the pond, he knows it's time to move on. With children in South Carolina and Minnesota, the Perkins enjoy the ability to visit for a while, but still have some separation that gives everyone their own space without intruding on the routines of others. In addition to work camping jobs, Lee operates a video production business from his RV. They talk about the advantages and disadvantages of doing everything they do to earn money. They've documented a great deal of their experience in a blog they started that they call Camper Chronicles. To tell us more about their experiences, please welcome Tracy and Lee Perkins to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Tracy and Lee. I appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about you guys, where you are right now and where you're from.
Well, thank you, Greg. We are a couple. We've been married for 32 years, and we are from originally Columbus, Ohio. And we have been full-time RVing for the last 6 years.
Okay. What kind of rig do you travel in?
We have a 2014 open range fifth wheel.
40 feet. Mm-hmm. Front living room, which is kind of unusual.
A front living room. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
And why'd you select a fifth wheel?
Interestingly, prior to us starting to talk about full timing, we had only ever tent camped twice in our lives. And the summer prior to going to a rally about full timing, we had bought a travel trailer just on a whim and we fell in love with it. And we started talking about full timing. And when that process started, we realized that we wouldn't want to be in a 26-foot travel trailer. So the discussion turned into Class A or fifth wheel. And originally I really wanted a Class A because I liked the idea of being able to drive and make a sandwich or take a nap. Because I have never done it before. I thought that was a thing people did. But when we actually went to a Hershey RV show and started looking at the rigs, I realized that I didn't like the way a Class A made me feel separate from nature. It felt like I was in a bubble, whereas a fifth wheel felt more like I was in the world, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people say that fifth wheels make it feel a bit more like home.
Yes.
That was definitely the case for me. I didn't really realize I'm a tad bit claustrophobic. And so for me, the Class A's just didn't have enough windows, but our fifth wheel has tons of windows. And part of the reason we bought the front living room model that year was it had a window in the front, which was a brand new feature back in 2014.
We had never seen it before.
Yeah. So we have lots and lots of windows, and we love to camp, you know, surrounded by nature, like Lisa.
And so we should tell people who aren't really familiar with the layout of a fifth wheel, a front living room means you go up the stairs, and it would be the part that would ride over the truck of the cab or truck. Yeah. The cab portion of the truck.
Right.
Okay. Very good.
It rides over the bed of the truck.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been RVing?
So we have been full-timing since November of 2014. So 6 years. And we started out, and I had a corporate job that I kept. They let me keep that job on the road. And about a year in, they offered buyouts. And I thought, you know, I've always wanted to do more traveling, and I was a little limited. So I took the buyout, and we started work camping. And one of our very first work camping jobs allowed us to go to Alaska. So that was a long time dream of both of ours. And I got to spend my 50th birthday in Alaska.
Oh, that's a fun place to visit, isn't it?
It sure is.
It is.
Yeah.
There's a Kodak moment around every curve.
Yeah, it sure is. So that got us started, and we were hooked. So since then, we've traveled, we've crisscrossed the country a few times, and we've done a variety of work camping jobs along the way. We're young, we're not retired, so we had to earn our living as we went. We had some savings, of course, but we've earned our living as we've gone.
Very good. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the jobs you've held?
So we decided, well, I decided, I think mainly more than Lee, that I wanted to try everything and see what we liked. And so over the years, we've camp hosted in a variety of places. We gate guarded for a couple of seasons. We sold Christmas trees. We did the sugar beet harvest. And we also worked at Amazon. And one of the things I wanted to mention to your listeners was what we have found is that different people like different types of work camping jobs. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So just because you love a particular job, you may not like the next one. And even we as a couple, we've never really worked together as a couple before. So that was a bit of an adjustment. And even as a couple, like, I loved Amazon. I liked it a lot. And
I hated Amazon.
He didn't like, it was a little too structured for him.
I hated Amazon.
We love Amazon as a company. We order a ton from them.
I hated working at Amazon.
But the beet harvest, he loved that. That was outside. It was 12-hour days. He loved it. I was freezing cold the whole time. So I think it's really important that you realize that not everything is a great fit, but best case scenario, you'll find something that works for both of you.
What was your favorite job?
We both like gate guarding quite a bit. I think that there's a lot of independence in that, and we worked opposite shifts, so we had a lot of downtime. And, you know, I think we liked that probably the best. We also worked 3 summers up in Oregon for Portland General Electric, and we camp hosted for them and cleaned day use areas for them. And it's beautiful in Oregon. So those would probably be our 2 favorites.
Okay.
For me, yeah. For me, my favorite work camping job, I think I would have to say, was the beet harvest. But we've also done a couple of volunteer gigs. And in our limited volunteer experience, I have found that being a volunteer is a significantly different experience. I felt like we got treated better as volunteers than we did as employees, which kind of stands to reason. But if you have to work to make money to pay your bills, you can't really do a lot of volunteering.
Right. Yep. I've heard that from several other people who have said the same thing about their experience volunteering versus work camping. But like you said, you got to pay the bills.
Yep.
What do you like most about the RVing and work camping experience?
Well, so Lee talks about this a lot, but you know, we've never left a position. I mean, we are old school in that, you know, we fulfill our obligation, but if it's not working out, you can move on, right? I mean, the thing about it is if you're in a situation and it's just not a perfect fit, you can move on to another situation, you know, as soon as that contract's over. And also, we really love getting to see parts of the country and live there. Like, I don't like just passing through. I want to get my hair cut, go to the grocery store, get to know people in the area. And so by going and doing a work camping job, you really get to explore a place kind of fully. Generally, we don't go back. We'll go on to a new area, but we did go back to Oregon for 3 years in a row. So sometimes we do.
Okay. What are the favorite places that you visited?
Utah is my personal favorite. Alaska was pretty amazing, but Utah, we spent 2 1-month stints. So the great thing about work camping is we work camp for about 10 months out of the year, and then we were able to take 2 full months off every year. And Utah is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. How about you?
I really, really, really liked Utah, although, you know, to be clear, what time of year you go matters. I really, really enjoyed Alaska quite a bit. But that's because, like you said, every view is spectacular. You almost get sick of how gorgeous it is. the thing that I like the most about the traveling is the ability to kind of constantly, not start over, but constantly go see someplace new. After a while, you know, I have kind of, I guess, a thorough way of looking at it. Once I wear a path from the house to the pond, I feel like it's time to move to a different location.
That's a good way to put that. I know that when I went visited Alaska, it was almost surreal just having that much light out all day long. I mean, you could look across the campground at 2 o'clock in the morning because there was so much light out.
Yeah.
It's true. And we grew up on the East Coast and had spent very little time out West. So for me, exploring the West has just been amazing. I mean, the big open spaces and so much sky. I mean, loved Montana and Wyoming and Utah and just Arizona, you know, all those places that I had never really got to spend any time has been really terrific.
And you are in one of my favorite cities right now out in South Carolina. How do you like that?
We are. We're in Charleston, South Carolina, because this is where our grandbaby is. And we're about ready to have a second grandbaby who'll be in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So for us, the lifestyle is great to see family. We've got family in 5 different states. So we have time to explore, see family, and work. And we've been able to kind of do all of those things. COVID certainly has thrown a wrench into things. This year's been very unusual for us. But in the past, we've got to do a little bit of everything.
And the best part about having an RV when you're visiting family like that, scattered everywhere, is you bring your own home. You're not intruding into their schedules and their routines. And it's just a great way to meet the people you love without getting on each other's nerves.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's wonderful to spend time with an 18-month-old, but it's equally wonderful when he gets cranky that we can go home.
Exactly. That's right. Oh, that's funny. So you, in addition to your work camping jobs, Lee, you also run a business, don't you?
I do. I am a video production and live event production professional and have been my whole life.
Okay. And that means you are doing like corporate conferences and the big events of the past, right? That we haven't seen too many of in 2020.
Yeah. I was just going to say that it's been a while since we did a large scale live event for a corporation because of COVID. It'll come back. We had the same thing happen after 9/11. They all got canceled for about a year, but it'll all come back eventually. I shoot and edit video. I have a drone. I can I can do pretty much any kind of video production somebody's looking for. I mean, obviously, the larger the scale gets, the more complicated it gets. But certainly, I can do pretty much the equivalent of what any small to medium-sized production facility could do in a small to medium-sized town.
Mm-hmm. And of the jobs that you've had, what are some of the typical tasks that you've done? I know you talked about the beet harvest, so that was harvesting the beets, and Amazon is entirely shipping packages, isn't it? Or is it, also picking product, isn't it?
Yeah, so for us, our part of the beet harvest was not harvesting beets, but piling them. I ran a piler where the trucks would come and dump them, and then we would put them into a giant pile and just, you know, repeat over and over and over again endlessly for a month. And at Amazon, both of us were picking, which basically involves, for those who don't know, pushing a little plastic cart around and reading instructions for locations of a t-shirt in a bag or a baseball hat in a bag, and putting those into a little bin. And then when the bin gets full, putting that on a conveyor belt and then doing that over and over and over again until you want to die. after a couple of weeks of doing that, I tried my hand at packing, which is basically taking things out of those bins and putting them into boxes and bags and sending them down another conveyor belt to go on the trucks and be shipped. And I like that a lot more. But that is not for everyone. I mean, it's mind-numbingly dull. Probably the thing that I would say, if I were telling somebody who was thinking about doing it, you need to know ahead of time that you can't take anything in with you. Like, you can't take in a phone or an iPad or an iPod and listen to music or podcasts. So you are by yourself with your thoughts for 12 hours a day, every day, for 7 days a week, for a month and a half or 2 months.
I found it super relaxing.
Well, her thoughts are not as scary as my thoughts.
I thought it was great. I was just pushing my shopping cart and following the directions. I thought it was great. We have also done our share of cleaning bathrooms, you know, and we're not too good to clean a bathroom for sure. One of the most beautiful places we did that is in Estacada up in Oregon, along a beautiful river valley. We have at one point we ran a campground. It had actually, we ran 5 campgrounds, and we were the supervisors for that. Lee's done maintenance, I've done office work. We sold Christmas trees. That was like running a mini pop-up business. We had to order, set up the tents, you know, do all the customer service. That was a couple of months we did that. So we've done it's interesting. You always think, at least a lot of people, I did think work camping is sort of the traditional
camp hosting.
The guy does the maintenance, a girl does the office. And certainly there's a fair share of that, but there's lots of different work out there that you can do in a work camping environment.
I agree with that.
We also worked for the Bureau of Land Management in California at a rails to trails day use facility, which was a volunteer gig, but that basically involved opening a gate in the morning, walking a mile of old railroad trail, picking up, you know, with a piece of equipment, like a little grabber, you know, a litter picker upper thing, picking up little micro litter and cigarette butts and things along this breathtakingly gorgeous trail, and then closing the gate at night. So we had this day use area that was hardly ever used to ourselves all day. We had a beautiful place to live, and the work was really, I would hardly describe it as work unless you want to count walking for a mile on a stretch of, you know, old railroad track, rail bed. I mean, it's just beautiful.
Yeah, I think the important thing, Greg, is that really ask good questions. And we learned over time what mattered to us, right? Really think about what matters to you and ask the right questions going in. But understand that you probably can't really know what you're getting into until you get there. And if you're flexible, you'll do better, right, than if you go in with a set of ideas for sure. It's always exciting. You get to meet lots of new people, And generally, there's something about the work that's fun and interesting. And if you, like I said, if you don't want to do it again, next time, go do something else.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said ask good questions, and that is very important. What are some of the questions that you typically tend to ask now that you've had some experience at work camping? Do you ask your employers before you accept a job? What are some of those questions?
So we care a lot about the site. Because when we're not working, that matters to us. So making sure you have full hookups and really determining what full hookups is. Sometimes people will say full hookups, but you're actually on a tank, and how often it's going to be emptied matters.
She's talking about the sewer hookup. Mm-hmm. So we've had work camping jobs where they are advertised as water, electric, and sewer. And when you get there, what you find is they've dropped a 300 or 400 gallon tank on the ground next to where you'll be parked, which is difficult to dump into, especially if that tank is taller than your sewer outlet, because you can't dump up. Plus, if they're going to empty that thing, you know, let's say you're like us and you take full showers and you wash dishes and you do laundry. You know, you're going to fill that tank up in a week. And if they decide that they're going to empty it once a month, well, now you have a problem.
Yeah.
That's not full hookups. You know, that's almost full hookups. So asking the kind, I would agree with her, decide what matters to you and have the courage and the self-respect to ask those questions in advance, because if you agree to take a job and then you get there and you find, like, for example, if you need 50 amps and you take the job at 30 and it's hot and humid, you can't run both of your air conditioners, you're going to be miserable. And personally, I think that a lot of people take jobs not fully understanding what they're going to be dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And then after they're there for a month, they hate it and they suddenly develop a family medical emergency and they have to abandon that job, which isn't good for them. It's not good for the person who owns the business. And it's not good for the larger work camping community as a whole, because, you know, people tend to paint everybody with the same brush after a single experience. So,
yeah, I think that, like, for example, cell phone coverage is an interesting one. And we've run into this several times. You have to say, we have children and I have elderly parents. So we 100% have to have cell coverage, not sort of, not if you drive up the hill, you can get cell coverage. Other people don't care about it. It's not a big deal to them, but for us, it's a deal breaker. So we have taken to saying, Lee says, first of all, we have AT&T, because all cell coverage is not the same, right? You have to tell them what your carrier is. And Lee will say before we go, I just want to be clear, if we get there and we don't have cell coverage, we're going to have to leave. And he's very nice and respectful, but then they understand for real how important that is.
So the part that she's leaving out is that people will tell us there's cell coverage, we'll say, do you have AT&T? And they'll say, yes. And if you push, they'll be like, well, half a bar, if the tree is blowing in right direction. And there's, you know, like, what you find out is they don't actually have the coverage and they're just kind of fibbing to you because they'd really like to just get the job filled and move on and not have to do another interview. So we have taken to saying to people, if you fib to me, I will pull out of the parking lot before I even turn the truck off.
Yeah.
So
no, it's just, it's fair to them and it's fair to you, right? To be super clear. And that's the cell coverage turns up because we want to be in as remote a place as possible. So with being remote comes things like maybe the cell coverage isn't so great, or maybe you don't have full hookups, which is all fine as long as everybody understands that going in.
And you really have to talk to the people who live there, because it turns out that the carriers will not be entirely honest with their coverage maps. So
you got to ask them.
You have to ask.
And so one more thing I just wanted to mention, like grocery store, we have done several gigs where the closest grocery store was over an hour away. For us, we're fine with that. We'll drive, but other people that would not be acceptable to. So again, the more remote you are with these jobs, the more likely you're going to run into some challenges, and you need to be honest with yourself and honest with the employer about what you really need.
We really both feel like this is what we tell other people. We feel like you have to decide what matters to you and then make sure you're going to have your needs met, because the employer doesn't know what matters to you. They have no idea.
Right.
So decide what you care about and make sure your needs are met. Otherwise, it's going to be a less than ideal experience.
Those are all very good questions to ask. And it sounds like it's something that you've learned from lots of experience.
We have.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the perks that you get to enjoy as a work camper?
Oh, you know what? My favorite thing is I always call it backstage access, right? So you get keys to places other people don't get to go.
Oh, can I explain that real quick?
Sure.
So when we did the Bureau of Land Management job, the guy that we worked for was this delightful, quirky, eccentric old guy. He was like a character out of an old Western. And he gave us a key ring and said, these keys will open pretty much any padlock you encounter within a 100-mile radius.
Yeah.
And so we started pulling up the gates on our exploratory drives and trying these keys. And we found that we could go pretty much anywhere we wanted in Northern California, because most of it is Bureau of Land Management land. And that was really kind of exciting, because we could go places in our truck that other people couldn't go. And that's what she means by that.
Yeah. And so also, usually the people that are locals who work there are so generous with telling you, like, ooh, go do this thing. These are places that only the locals go that aren't the regular tourist areas.
We call them B sites.
Yeah. And so you will find... Our very, very favorite is we were doing the Redwoods, which was an all-time dream of mine. And one of the park rangers said, you really should go to the Lost Coast. And we're like, what's that? And they sent us down this dirt road, twisty, and we met another park ranger.
We were pretty convinced that this is a road they send people down to kill them. We didn't think we were ever going to be seen again.
So we get to the most beautiful stretch of coast I've ever been on in my entire life. We were met by the other set of park rangers who lived down there for several months.
We drove through a herd of Roosevelt elk.
And it was gorgeous, and there was not a soul in sight. And so you really get to see this country and go places that you'd never in a million years go if you were on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a perk of being a work camper that you only get as a work camper.
I agree. And I've heard that from several folks, especially working in the national parks, even the busy ones like Yellowstone. Everybody has to go see the geysers and the main events. But the park rangers, if you're there all the time, will say, well, you go down this road and about 3 or 4 miles and you'll just be blown away by something. And that's not an experience that typical people get to enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. We have found in our experience that sometimes the B sites, the places that aren't, you know, like all the attention goes to the big,
Green Canyon, Yellowstone.
We've found more pleasure in equally beautiful, but lesser known and lesser traveled to, harder to get to, fewer amenities. You know, it's almost like there's a second hidden system. And my favorite thing is to step out of the truck and go, wow, do people not know about this? You know, if people knew, wouldn't they come? And then I'm like, oh yes, maybe I shouldn't tell anybody, because, you know, that's my favorite thing, is to go someplace and be the only car in the lot. That's what I enjoy.
Are you folks work camping right now?
We're not. Lee had a job lined up for the summer, but because of COVID and he's a little higher risk, we decided to take, we called and they completely understood, you know, that was the first time we'd ever had to call and say, we're sorry, we can't come, but it was an extraordinary year, but we're planning hopefully to get started again. And we're looking forward to it. It's been a strange year.
Right? Yes, it sure has. So do you have a job set up for this summer?
Well, I, so the job that I was going to do last summer that I couldn't do because of COVID, I had made arrangements with the person who hired me to do it this summer. And then one of our other daughters decided that she didn't appreciate our first daughter getting all of the attention with that grandchild. So she decided to compete with her own grandchild, and that grandchild is due in July. So that basically kind of knocked me out of the ability to do that job. So now I have to take this summer off and put that job off probably until next summer.
There you go. Valley Fair is up in Minneapolis, where I think your daughter lives, and you could go work in an amusement park.
Okay.
Valley Fair?
It's called Valley Fair, yes.
Mm-hmm. Valley Fair?
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
We've heard of the one that everybody else goes to. That's the one.
In Iowa. Adventureland, right.
Yeah, we haven't gone to Adventureland, but...
Ooh, Valley Fair, we'll check that out.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that because
it's Shakopee, which is in the southwest area of the Twin Cities area, a little bit beyond Bloomington. Yeah, very cool.
I'll look into that. Thank
you. How do you typically find your jobs?
We talk to guys who do podcasts and see what they recommend.
We use WorkCamper News and have used it since the very beginning. And I mean that truly. For us, that is like the single best source. We've also, you know, looked at a couple other places like Workers on Wheels, but just kind of consistently we've done volunteer.gov a few times. And then word of mouth is a great way to find jobs. The job we had in Oregon, somebody actually sent to us.
Yeah.
And we went several times. We had some friends who talked to us about gate guarding, although we also saw it more camper news. So kind of a combination.
Now, do you look for a place to work and then travel there to do that job? You want to go to a specific area and look for a job?
That's a great question. The answer is when we started, yes, that's how we did it. In the beginning, we picked a place and then found a job.
Two things. Which one?
We picked a place first and then found a job in that area. But I think now that we've kind of been more places, we're willing to go where interesting work is. I think that's kind of flipped for us. Does that make sense?
It sure does. Yes, absolutely. Because you are married and you've been doing this for such a long time, do you have any advice for people on how to maintain that relationship?
Oh, well, we take breaks from each other. We actually, we like to work a slightly staggered shift. And I know, or to not be in the same physical space. Working together and living together for us, and we've been married 32 years, and we love each other dearly, but it's a lot. So we either will do a slightly staggered shift, which employers have been really great about. Like he'll work 9 to 6 and I'll work 10 to 7 or something. Or we, again, just are kind of separate during the workday mainly. I think, what do you think? You've probably got something.
For whatever reason, I tend to think of work campers. I know this is silly because, you know, we're in our early 50s, but I always tend to think of them as like retired elderly people, which is obviously not the case, but that's my own bias. And I just kind of assume that by the time people get to that age, they've figured out all that, you know, how to.
You don't think they still got on each other's nerves once in a while?
the smart part of me knows better, but the other part of, yeah. So I think that it's different for every couple. You know, there are some people that just, you know, it's sickening how much they love each other.
It's true.
And you get diabetes just being in the same room with them. but then there are other people that are like, you know, more like us that are okay with being. It's very difficult to sit down and have dinner and try to tell somebody about what happened during the day and everything you said. They're like, yeah, I know, I was standing right there when that happened.
Right.
So, you know, you can't even talk about your day really because they were part of your day, and you mm-hmm. can't complain about your coworkers because they're your coworker. So,
well, I will say that the people who own businesses together, and we've met quite a few of those, have kind of already worked all that out.
Yeah.
So it's just important to know that working together, if you've never done it before, does require some conversation and adjustment.
Yeah, it takes some adjustment, right? we've been doing this for a while, and I just kind of assume everybody knows everything, which is silly because that's not true. But I would say it's going to be different. You have to have the conversation. Don't think for one second that if, you know, you are recently retired or recently started hitting the road and you're trying this new thing, it's not going to be the same as before.
Yeah.
You're going to learn things about your spouse that maybe you don't particularly care for. Maybe they have a different work ethic from you. That happened to us. Tracy and I started working together, and it turns out that we don't have the same work style. So we had to find a way to get along with one another as coworkers, which, you know, was kind of a surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I understand you've compiled a bunch of advice on a blog that you are willing to share with other people, advice about work camping and advice about jobs that you've had in RVing and just typical life advice. Tell us how that came about.
So when I very first started on the road, never read a blog, to be honest with you, let alone write one. And
we didn't even really know what a blog was.
Yeah, it was not our thing. So my daughter said, maybe you should write it down like a journal. And she set me up on a blog, and it turned into a real passion. And a lot of what I've written about over the years that I think is the most impactful is about work camping. So there's a page, it's camperchronicles.com, and there's a page about earning money on the road. And I have detailed blogs, like daily blogs, about the beet harvest, Amazon, gate guarding, and then more information about the different work camping things that we've done. We also have all of our budgets for the last 6 years. I didn't know that we would be able to afford to do this and just have work camping as an income. And it turns out that, you know, with significant changes to our lifestyle, that absolutely was possible. So we've posted all of our budgets for the last 5 years, if people are interested in that.
Just to be clear, what she's talking about is every month we post, she does a post that details in excruciating detail what we spent our money on and how much money we made. This blog pretty quickly turned into, she was essentially writing the blog that she would like to have seen herself when we first got started. It is intended for people who are thinking about getting started full-timing or just having gotten started. It isn't a daily blog, like we woke up at 8 o'clock and we had, you know, granola for breakfast. It's not like that, but there is a lot of detail. And, you know, going back 6 years now, like if a person wanted to know what's it really like to be on the beet harvest for 6 weeks, you can go to camperchronicles.com to the search window and type in beet harvest, and you can start with day one, you know, orientation. And read what our experience was. And we've gotten a pretty fair amount of feedback from people that say, I didn't think I could do the beet harvest, but after reading your report, I found that it wasn't as intimidating and we had a great time. And that's really gratifying for her to know that, like, a total stranger had a slightly better experience in their life because she took the time to write some details down. And the budgets also, a lot of people appreciate the fact that we are transparent to the point of embarrassment.
Yeah.
The problem with putting the budget online every month is when you go overboard going out to eat, you have to explain that at the end of the month to the whole world. So
that's great. And to find that, it's at camperchronicles.com?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to tell us about your experience. This has been fun. I really enjoyed it. And you guys provided a lot of very good practical advice too. So I wish you the best of luck in 2021.
Thank you so much, Greg. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Tracy and Lee Perkins have enjoyed a lot of incredible experiences while RVing. Even though they aren't of retirement age yet, work camping supports a lifestyle of travel and adventure. Through their experiences, they've learned to ask good questions of prospective employers during the interview process to ensure that they have a good understanding of what will be required of them, what they will receive in return for their time or services, and what is included in their compensation. The Perkins have encountered challenges in getting cell signals, so they ask specific questions about the signal levels they can expect at a particular campground. They also ask where the nearest grocery store is, because in some places, the store can be more than an hour away. Whenever Tracy and Lee travel, they seek what they call backstage access, or information about out-of-the-ordinary places to visit or see. They do that by asking local residents and park rangers. It has added flavor to their travels that most people don't get to experience because they never ask. To help maintain a great marriage relationship, Tracy and Lee admit to taking breaks from each other so they are not always sharing the same physical spaces all day long. That's important because living together and working together can sometimes get a little overwhelming. Tracy and Lee have assembled a lot of valuable information about their experiences, as well as tips to enhance the RV lifestyle for full-timers. You can find that on their blog at www.campercronicles.com. Work Camper News is another great resource to RVers and people dreaming about jumping into the RV lifestyle. With its diamond and platinum membership tools, Work Camper News is much more than a job listing website. When you put the tools of this professional system into action, you'll find out just how easy it is to turn your work camping dreams into reality. The one-year memberships open the door to a one-stop shop for all things work camping. Being the original source for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings, be able to connect with a community of work campers, and peruse resources compiled by experts who've been enjoying the RV lifestyle for many years. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, a diamond or platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a 30-day trial by visiting workcamper.com/trial. Embark on new adventures today with the support of Work Camper News behind you. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. That's all we have for this week's show. Next week, I'll speak with a couple from Texas about their RVing and work camping experiences. I'm glad you joined us today on The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.